What is up, everyone? Thank you for tuning in. This is the Matt Ramage Show, presented by the greatest gas station in the world. That is Quick Trip, you know what I mean? And they got take-home meals. They got all the things. But the take-home meals, they got them at a discounted price right now. So, be, you know, if you never had a take-home meal from Quick Trip, go check them out. You know, they got the macaroni and cheese. They got the bacon mac and cheese. They got the spaghetti and meatballs. They got the stroganoff. You know what I mean? I never had that one. I'm not even sure if I'm saying it right. But also, I want to tell you as a tip from an insider, get yourself some breadsticks from Quick Trip. The breadsticks, the garlic breadsticks, are like the greatest thing in the world. They are absolutely fantastic. But we have a great guest with us today, you know what I mean? We have the most fantastic guest, Game On Wisconsin's own. We have Mr. Jimmy Christensen. Is that right? Did I say that right?
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, you give me whatever last name you want.
I think it's a good last name. It's very long. You know what I mean? I was trying to edit that graphic that I made for this thing, and I was like, that's a long last name. I mean, I got a few letters. How many? I think I got like, I don't want to count. But also Pack-A-Day podcast, you know what I mean? Only the elite get on the Pack-A-Day podcast. And you
people who threaten.
I know, right? You're like, put me on the dang podcast or I'll take you down.
Yeah, I just start sending them their address. Like, I know where you live, dude. Just put me on.
But yeah, we got Mr. Jimmy Christensen. So what we're going to do today, we're going to talk about the Packers, you know, some new defensive coaches out there. Super Bowl 31 memories, because I did a live stream last night where I just, you know, rambled and talked with the people in the chat. And I forgot to mention Super Bowl 31. So I want to hear from you, like, what Super Bowl 31, not 31, but XLV, because I don't know if you're the same age as me. You look good, you know what I mean? So I don't know.
I'm 30.
Do you remember 31 at all?
A little.
How many years ago was that? I'm not good at math. Anyways, we could talk about some Super Bowl memories since the Super Bowl is here right now. And also, we'll do some predictions for Super Bowl this season. But I want a lot of Packers stuff that we can talk about. And we're going to hammer the chat, you know what I mean? We got, you know, people crab dip, you know what I mean? What's up, John? How you doing in the chat? I'm not sure what that means. If it's a compliment, I don't think it is. It might not be. Maybe it is. You know what I mean?
He's got to pretend. Like, it's a compliment.
How are we doing today, Jimmy? How has your week been going?
Honestly, it's been good. I can't complain. Just working, doing all that stuff. It's looking forward to the Super Bowl. This week we got like the defensive coaches hiring and all that stuff going on. Obviously, the Super Bowl is coming up, but there's that like little part in my brain that's still like, dude, you're going to be so bored in less than a week. Like, once we have that Super Bowl, after that, I'm going to go crazy until free agency, because I'm not a draft guy. I said this to other people before, like, I don't look into it because, one, my brain can only handle so much. I'm in the NFL, and that's as much as my brain can handle. And two, no one knows anything. So, like, I can go on Twitter and be like, this guy's for sure going to hit. I don't know. I'm just talking out of my butt. So I just usually try not to.
All right. So John clarified the Quick Trip crab dip for the win. All right. So I'm just stupid. I apologize for that. No, but like, I feel like I'm the same way when it comes to the off season. Cause like, I'll do a live stream. People are like, who do you think we should draft? What do you think about this guy? What do you think about that guy? I'm like, dude, I'm so stupid. I wish I was smarter, but I'm going to have smart people on during the off season. Today is not that day.
Yeah. Like, not now. You want to be one less dumb in.
Yeah, because like I will always tell people, like, if I like you, I will insult you severely. If I don't insult you, it probably I'm not comfortable with you. We're not vibing yet. But we're gonna talk about some stuff. But I want to give a shout to Nick Laylaw. All right, Nick Laylaw is another sponsor of mine. Everyone who lives in Wisconsin, Minnesota type area, everyone sees the banners out there. He's the bearded man. Got a Wisconsin tattoo on his forearm. I think I kind of want to copy that tattoo. But he's just like a regular guy, but also is a smart lawyer type. So if you get injured in an accident and your insurance company is being a little sketchy with you, check out nicklaylaw.com and hit him up. He's got the beautiful beard. People always ask me, like, are you going to get a beard? I'm like, dude, if I could get a beard, I would have a beard. All right. I gotta order my beard from Amazon.
I can't grow a beard. I got this like eighth grade patchiness going on.
Dude, I can't even get myself. That. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're missing a few pieces, but I think you're holding it bottom. Together. You're holding it together. You know what I mean? I can't grow a beard. You know, I had a friend in seventh grade who had a bigger beard than I could grow right now. We called him Harry.
Oh, gosh.
I think back at those times. That's me. I am jealous. I am the jealous dude. But anyway, so we got some Packers news. You know, we got the Packers hiring some defensive people. I don't know what I got some banners up here, so let's keep it in order over here. All right, so let's talk about this. You know what I mean? I'm not sure if I talked to you about this, but a lot of people were asking me these questions, and I got some questions from Facebook and a lot of people today. But Jordan Love, you know, he's going to get some money. Yep. All right. I don't know if you're a contract buff. I am not. But Jordan Love is about to get the bag, and he should, because like I said this a little bit last night. Like, you're not, you don't lowball your quarterback in his first contract. I mean, no. Besides, like, I mean, I wouldn't say it's first because he had that rookie deal and then they kind of redid a thing. I don't even know what that was, but they didn't give him the fifth year option, but they kind of gave him another thing. But he's going to get the money. He should get the money. I mean, obviously, like, don't go crazy, but they're not going to give him more than he wants. He's not going to be like, whoa, that's crazy. I didn't expect this. You know, they're going to give him like what he's due. Everyone's going to kind of understand it, but, are you a contract guru at all? Do you have any idea the kind of money that Jordan Love will get?
I would not add guru. I would say I read things and just regurgitate in a much dumber way. I think the big thing, Daniel Jones of the Giants. What's up, dude? Daniel Jones is like, he screwed up every kind of initial contract like this because Daniel Jones sucks. And he got like he got $40 million a year. So Jordan Love, all his agent needs to do is be like, hey, homeboy got $40 million. I'd need more than that because he's already proven in one season he is a much better quarterback than Daniel Jones. And I don't think it's gotten to the point yet where it's like offset. So I think we'll probably be looking at least 45 a year. Maybe they'll like start off slow so the cap hit's not too bad and then can build a team around. But yeah, I would say he's gonna make a lot of money, dude.
Yeah, that's the thing with like that Daniel Jones, because when I've said this before, like when he got that money, I was like, I thought he sucked. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Like, I thought he sucked. And then he got paid, and I was like, and then I watched him, and I was like, oh, he does suck. They just overpaid him. You know what I mean? But we got ourselves a super chat. These are rare around these parts. You might be on a lot of live streams that get these a lot, but not around here. So big what's up to Steve Z. $5, you know what I mean? That'll buy me a beer. You know what I mean? I appreciate you, Steve. That's awesome. Matt, can you go on record? How many touchdowns Jordan Love throws next season? Also, what are both of your plans for Super Bowl Sunday? That is a fantastic question, Steve. How many touchdowns Jordan Love throws next season? I'm gonna try not to be biased here. How many did he have this year? Wasn't it like 37 in the playoffs included? Maybe not. That wasn't a number. I forget. It was 32. It was 30s. I can't go high on that. I tend to go high. Yeah. He has 32. I'm gonna say 40. I'm gonna say 40 touchdowns. Next season, maybe even more. It might be like 43 because I feel like this season with Aaron, with Jordan Love, you know, I'm still slipping a little bit and throw that Aaron in there. But with Jordan Love, he had a couple games where he wasn't quite, you know, great because it's his first year starting. They had some slumps. And I feel like when the defense isn't playing great, he's going to push it a little bit. I'm not going to blame anyone else because Jordan Love had some bad games. But I expect those games to be very limited next season. I don't expect Jordan Love to have just trash games. He's going to have bad interceptions. He's a quarterback. He's human. But I would say Jordan Love is going to have 40, maybe a couple more than that. I expect Jordan Love to have a really great season. And for – well, first of all, let you answer that part of the question. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm the two things that come to mind is one, he's going to be in the second year starter. There's that boost there. The one thing that I could see limiting it is if Aaron Jones stays healthy for the whole season, and whether it's AJ Dillon, we resign him or whatever running back we get in the draft, if they're contributing, like we might be having more running touchdowns next year that we'll take away from him. But I think either way, he'll still be around that. I don't want to steal Steve's answer, so I'm going to just price his right. I'm going to be like 36, 37. I'll go 36. I don't want to do too close to him. I'll say 36, 36.
So Steve says 38 this year. I think it's going to be right in that high 30s, maybe early 40s. And maybe, you know, if you ask me this closer to the season, I might say 50. You know what I mean? I'm a biased. Oh, yeah. I'm very hopeful type of the guy. But I'll say right around that 40 range. And what are both your plans for Super Bowl Sunday? I'm not even sure like what my plans are right now. I'll probably just gonna watch Super Bowl with my wife. I thought about live streaming, but I figured most people are watching with their family. Everyone has Super Bowl parties, so who wants to watch me yammer on about these teams? And I'm just so I'll probably watch my wife. Maybe I head over to my, you know, someone's house, but I'll probably just watch the wife, eat some pizzas, some macaroni and cheese, stuff my face, drink some beer. Yeah. But what are your plans?
This year's pretty low key. Just going, wife and I are taking the kids down to my parents, going back to Milwaukee, just chilling down there for a couple of days and then heading back up. So yeah, just trying to, I don't know, bribe my wife to just let me not have any children interaction for like 4 hours. So we'll see how well that goes.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's going to go real good. All right, so here's another good question, right? I didn't have this on the chart here. Is David Bakhtiari back next season? What do you think?
Dude, that's the million-dollar question. Patrick gave us a hard one. I think if Rasheed Walker played well, that's like the one thing is like Rasheed Walker played well and is cheap. I know we'll save money if we get rid of Bakhtiari. But then the other part of me is like, yeah, but he is a top left tackle in the league if he's healthy. Like it all comes down to that is if he's healthy. My gut would tell me if he's going to have to redo his deal. If he doesn't redo his deal, I think he's out of there. We'll save the money, try to trade him, get Goody to work magic again in the draft. So my gut's telling me no. If I had a gun to the head answer, he won't be back next season.
Yeah, I tend to believe that he won't be back, but like, you know, if he's healthy, because like obviously if he's healthy, he's like a big key part, but like I don't think so. Even the way Goot kind of answered that question when they're talking about Aaron Jones, he was like, yes. He's like, Aaron Jones is the heart of this team. We love Aaron Jones. Well, like I'd give my children to this man. Like he's like, we love this dude. He's a great, like, what about Dave Brody? Like, well, we're going to check it out. We're going to love stuff. You know what I mean? We never know. It's kind of like when your wife asks you, like, you didn't clean the garage today. Like, you know what I mean? It's the plan. But, like, we're going to see what happens. You know, you never know what's going to happen. She's like, you're going to drink some beer? Like, definitely. We're going to drink lots of beer.
That's
we got
sure.
Beer stacked up in the fridge. It's kind of like the same type of thing. So, I love David Bakhtiari. I really do. But if they feel like they got a replacement for him that's not going to cost them a crazy ton of money and they don't really know about the injury situation because they're not going to know. It's not like a doctor's going to be like, nope, he's all good. He's fine. Everything is good. Like he's had a catastrophic injury. So like we'll see like what happens with that. But I don't expect David Bakhtiari to be back next season. It's he had a brutal injury, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and for him even now having to go back and have surgery, like he had the one after week one, and then he even said I have another surgery later on this offseason that's gonna hopefully officially clean it up. So for him to have that many surgeries on that knee, it's at that point too. It's like, dude, is it worth it? Like you solidified yourself as the best left tackle in the league for a little bit, the best to probably ever play for the Packers. History buffs might correct me on that and say some person I don't know, but like he's made his legacy in Green Bay. And you hit on it too. Is like the tough part is he's so likable, which is like, you don't want him to leave because he's such a cool guy. Like, it's not like everyone on the team or all the fans are like, well, he's kind of a dick. Like we don't want him back. Also, I don't know if that counts as a swear, but I won't say that again.
I don't think it does. I think
we're good.
if they can say that on The Simpsons, I think we're all right.
Perfect. But yeah, no, that's what makes it tough. He's so likable. You want him back, but I just don't think it makes sense.
Yeah, David Bakhtiari, the whole chugging beer thing, I think he's absolutely like what Green Bay is. Like he's, you know, like as Chief said, TV talks about carry the G. David Bakhtiari is absolutely that dude. If he's good and they're like confident that he can play and he could play a full season, I'd be okay with it. But like, it doesn't matter to me. It's not my money. You know, people always talk about the cap space. Yeah. It's not my money. You know what I mean? Like, it's like when you're at someone's house and they're like, well, we're going to get another, you know, a couple cases. It's not your money. Like, yeah, get after it, bro. Like, you know, we're gonna buy some bottles, have at it, you know, ask me to chip in. Let's have a good time. You know what I mean? But, there's a lot of money involved with, unsure about the injury. Like if they're confident, obviously like he's huge. He's a great player when he's on the field. All right, so let's talk about I want to bring this one up because I talked about this, I think, with Clayton. And Clayton from the Packernet podcast was on here. The under-the-radar days are over because I see a lot of people saying, I like being under the radar. I like the Packers being doubted. Well, those days are done, dude. Like those days are over. Like I compared it last night to the Lions of last year. You know, they didn't make the playoffs even. But everyone's like, they knew the Lions are coming. Like, this team was for real. And everyone knows the Packers are coming. A lot of people are going to favorite the Packers to win a Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl or, you know, win the division or whatever. A lot of people are going to be talking highly. So, like, no one's going to, like, underdog the Packers. I mean, there might be underdogs in a couple games here and there or whatever. But they're, no one's, like, thinking the Packers are chumps. Like, everyone, like, in this season, like, Jordan Love, you know, you watch Colin Cowherd, all these people. They did bury Jordan Love early in the season. Everyone knows what Jordan Love is. Everyone knows what these receiving – what these receivers are. We'll talk about those later on. But, like, everyone knows what this team is. The defense is kind of up in the air. We had a new defensive coordinator. And we'll see, like, what this defense is. But no one's going to be like, the Packers suck. Not like everyone's going to say, hey, they're all going to win a Super Bowl. You know, not everyone's going to say what I say. But the Packers are not under the radar no more. Everyone's going to be ready to play them. What do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You mentioned the Lions. That's who they are this coming into the season. Like, we're not – we probably won't be favored to win the NFC North. Like, there'll be some people debating it. But with Ben Johnson going back to Lions, that's going to be – they'll still probably be favored in that. But we're going to go from this year where they're like, they will not make the playoffs. Like, there's no chance. Jordan Love's probably not the guy. To now next year, we'll be a playoff lock in, like, preseason predictions. Like, that's such a big difference. And then you have this young team. Like, people are going to realize, like, you can't take them lightly. You can't, because they're explosive everywhere. And who knows with this defense? That's the question mark. But it can't get much worse than last year. So even if we move it from, like, end of the league to just middle of the pack, and our offense is the same, which I have 100% confidence it will be, we are a threat to win the Super Bowl next year. And that's definitely biased, but also just in my mind, dude, a realistic expectation.
Dude, I'm telling you, I said it. I said the Packers are going to be in the Super Bowl next year. And, dude, people are like, you shouldn't be so hopeful. You shouldn't say that, you know,
what,
like,
should we say then? The Packers suck.
Dude, that's the thing. Like, when people talk about me being a biased fan, and they talk about, like, I'm a realist and all this stuff. Like, dude, I don't care, dude. Like, should I lie? Like, I'm not a biased. I'm not lying out here. I'm not, like, saying I think the Packers are good, because I didn't say the Packers were going to win a Super Bowl last year. Anyone who watched my show, my podcast, whatever, last season, I wasn't saying the Packers are going to win a Super Bowl. I was saying, hey, they're going to have ups and downs. This is a rebuilding year. I didn't even say rebuilding, because I still don't think that it was a rebuilding year. Because rebuilding, like, I have a house. I'm in it right now. You're in one, too. If you rebuild that house, you're going to tear the whole thing down. You might keep the basement. You're tearing the whole thing down. No, you're just knocking out a few walls, fixing up, getting a new toilet. You're getting some stuff. You know, the Packers got a new toilet. That's what it was. They got a new toilet, got a new TV, planted on the wall, whatever. But it was a rebuilding type of a year. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't like crazy high expectations. We're like, oh, they're going to win a Super Bowl. But I knew that it was going to be like, we're finding this new offense with Jordan Love, these young wide receivers. It could be brutal. I knew it would be ups and downs. I'm glad that we had more ups than a lot of people thought. But anyways, I don't even know where I was going with that. But the under the radar days are over. That's what I'm saying. It's like the Packers next year. I'm hopeful that, I mean, I'm not saying that they're for sure guaranteed to win a Super Bowl, but they're gonna be fighting for it, just like a lot of, you know, a few other teams are gonna be. The Lions are one of those teams. Like, I know Packer fans like to trash on the Lions. The Lions are gonna be in the playoffs. I think the Packers are better than the Lions. I'm not scared of the Lions at all, but they're gonna be fighting. They're not just gonna give up. They're not gonna crawl back to what they were. The bags ain't coming back in their heads. Not for a couple years yet. We'll see what happens, but. I think that there's so many reasons why the Packer fans should be hopeful. Like, people are like, they'll degress. Jordan Love is going to degress. Why would you think that? These young wide receivers, Aaron Jones is going to be back. These two young tight ends. This offense does not worry me. It should not worry anyone. Like, this offense, dude, I'm so stoked about this team. And I think the defense will be better. We'll talk about that. We got a new defensive coordinator. We'll figure that stuff. A lot of new defensive coaches, but I have no doubt in this Packers offense.
Yeah, and it doesn't make any sense. People are like, "Well, you can't think they could make the Super Bowl." We were 3.5 quarters of just beating the 49. We were a half quarter away from going to the NFC Championship game in a year where people thought we weren't going to make the playoffs, and now we show what we can do. We hung in there with the team in the Super Bowl right now, which honestly, we should have won the game. That's what everyone was saying after the game. Packers should have won. Yes, we should have. Yeah, but now all of a sudden it's like, hey, no chance at the Super Bowl next year. We had a chance this year. What are you talking about? Like,
yeah,
we
had a chance
and we did so well. So for them to be like, don't have expectations of the Super Bowl. Okay. I can't say the word I was going to say, but get out of here. Like, don't
do it. Like for real, dude, I'm so hopeful for next year. I don't think I've ever been more excited about a season than I am for next season. I think Jordan Love, he didn't reach his peak yet. You know, it was his first year starting, but he did ridiculous in his first year starting. And it's not just him; it's his receivers. It's his tight end. Like she just said, nobody knows where he's going with the ball. There's no number one wide receiver. Like, they're gonna force that ball to that guy, because the Packers have always kind of had a guy. You know, like Devontae Adams, even with Jordy, even with Randall Cobb in his younger years. I remember where there was like, they're just like, everyone knew. They're trying to scheme him because he was like a quick guy. He could go slot. He could do all these things. He wasn't that, you know, up, you know, that go route type of guy. But they were just trying to get in the ball. There's no guy like that now. They're just trying to whoever's open, like whatever. Like, they're just doing whatever. This offense, I think the limits are endless. I'm super pumped about this offense.
The tight ends too. That's one thing, is we knew they were good. But we saw Musgrave in the beginning of the year do really well. Yeah. He got hurt. We saw Tucker Kraft come on and just dominate. And then we barely got to see them together. So next season, we're going to have two, knock on all the wood around me, two healthy tight ends going in there. And Matt LaFleur is just going to scheme up ridiculous things, because he is just a little Dumbledore back there just casting spells. Like, he's going to work magic, dude.
Yeah, who doesn't love a nice tight end? You know what I mean? But all right, so all right, dude, I can't even stand my own self. Here we go. So what we kind of talked about a little bit, but what does this team look like next season? Like, we kind of talked about the offense, but like, maybe even the defense, like that 4-3 defense that supposedly is coming in here. I guess it is.
Yep.
Everyone's talking about it. What do you think this team looks like next year?
I feel like the offense just does the same. Like, we see the same in my mind, they pick up right where they left off. The defense, from things I read, I can't take credit for this. Like I said, I don't know much. I don't know anything about college. We got a college head coach to be our DC. So it's from the stuff I read, like, he's much more aggressive, loves press man, single high safety. So we'll have another safety in the box, whether it's Darnell Savage, hoping he's back. In my opinion, I think he's earned it. But I think he's going to be more aggressive. And then having that, going to a 4-3 from everything, it doesn't matter as much anymore, because you're a nickel a lot and the scheme changes so much.
Yeah, kind of like, yeah, they're in and out of stuff.
Yeah, so it's not as big of a deal, but man, bringing change to this team. We've been in 3-4 since what, Dom Capers, and we've had a couple DCs since then. So I don't know, it can bring some juice to this defense. Like, that's what it all comes down to, is the defense going to take a step forward? If they take a step forward, then you're going to see me be ridiculously, people will hate me because I'm going to just trash talk. I usually keep quiet, but this team, I love them so much. They're fun, they're young, they're fun. And if we get this defense going and you have Jair talking, Carrington Valentine talking, I'm gonna just start channeling that energy.
Dude, fucking mad, I'm not one to talk, but I might start talking too.
I'm just starting talking random people.
Dude, that's what it is. Like, dude, if this defense, because I'm old enough to remember when they switched from I think they were at a 4-3, and Aaron Campman and all that. They tried to work him in a 3-4, didn't work out, but he was a stud. He was a fan favorite. Everyone loved Aaron Campman. But switching from a 3-4, people ask me, like, well, what's it like switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3? I'm like, yeah, you got to ask someone smarter than me. But I know what it is, like the switch, more hands on the ground. I understand. I'm not a complete idiot. But how does it involve our players? I'll have smart people on at some point. You ain't him, but
yeah, no arguments here.
but yeah, I think it's gonna be very fun to watch. Like, like what we said about the offense this season, going into this season, this offense will be fun to watch. I think this defense is gonna be that position that we're gonna be watching. Like, how does it work? How does Preston Smith work into this? And everyone talking about Preston Smith won't be a Packer next season. Shut your mouth.
He has to be.
And well, even to get rid of him, it's like $2.5 million cap space that they would save. He doesn't miss a game. There's no reason for the Packers to not want Preston Smith. I get it. Van Ness, everyone loves him. I love him too. You know, I love all these guys. But Preston Smith is a key part of this team. The players love him. Everyone loves him. I was DMing with Ken Ingles, who's smarter than both of us if we put both our brains together. And he was kind of saying that, because I asked him, you know, I was like, what's up? And he has a great article for anyone listening, anyone watching. Go to Ken Ingles' Twitter. go to his bio and click the link. There's a great article. That's kind of where I was reading. I just copy his stuff, you know, his thoughts. No, I don't do that. I know people on Twitter are like, oh, this person does that. But he makes a lot of good points about Preston Smith and a lot of, like, every position. But Preston Smith, it doesn't make sense for them not to bring him back. Like I say, even if they trade him or they cut him, it's $2.5 million saved. He doesn't miss a game. He's a great player. He's a great locker room guy. The guys love him. Preston Smith, my favorite player on the team. He's my guy. Like, I ride Preston Smith. If they didn't bring him back, I would go see Mark Murphy. I would be like, dude, we need to talk. I'm gonna need a conversation with you. You know what I mean?
But, he has to be back. He's
I don't think it's really a question.
No. Out of all the edge rushers, he's by far the best in the run game. Like, Rashawn Gary, as much as I love him, that's his weakness. He's so aggressive, which is great sometimes, but also sometimes kind of screws up the run game a bit. Preston has to be back. Because what are you going to do? Roll out there next year with Rashawn, Lucas Van Ness, and then whoever you get in the draft? Because Inambari is not going to be back until the end of the year, hopefully. So it's just, it'd be malpractice.
Yeah, I don't think it's a real conversation. People are kind of just saying things. Preston Smith, first of all, like, he stays on his job, right? Yeah. Like, he doesn't get sucked in on play action. Like, that's one thing, like, as a non-film buff, like, someone who doesn't really watch the game as a professional, but, like, just watching, like, he doesn't get, like, tricked out a lot. But anyway, Preston Smith, the GOAT, you know what I mean? Don't disrespect him on my pages, because I will come see you. But
what about the secondary, though? That's going to look a lot different next year. We have one, maybe two safeties on our team.
I think
right
it'll be interesting. The secondary is an interesting question. It is. But let me ask you this, because we have a great question over here from Sideline Report over on Twitter. Actually, this is a YouTube question, but he's also on Twitter. He said, AJ Dillon is most likely gone. Who do you think will be Aaron Jones' primary backup? First of all, let me ask you this. Do you think AJ Dillon will be gone? I love AJ Dillon.
Yeah.
Everyone does. Like, who doesn't? Yeah.
I personally think if I'm Goody, in my mind, it makes sense.
Yeah, let me know. If you Goody.
If I'm Goody, the team sucks. If I'm Goody, I'd bring him back on like a two-year deal, be able to get out of it in the second year. You draft a running back. The main thing is just AJ Dillon is so good in pass protection. Like, we saw that this year. Dude's huge, and he's picking up defensive linemen. He's picking up blitzing linebackers. Like, that's such a key part on this team. Like, if you don't, the wide receivers say it, but it's the same with the running back. If you can't pass protect, your playing time's hurt.
Yeah.
I personally would bring him back. If they don't, I would expect a second, third round pick going to a running back, because Aaron Jones, we saw this year how much of a benefit it was. Him getting injured, you don't want him to get hurt. Obviously, you'd rather have him have fresh legs because of just splitting the carries. But we saw what a fresh legged Aaron Jones could do at the end of the year. You can't have him be a bell cow all year and then expect him to be as dominant as he was. So I think he can do it, but I don't think it's the best for the team to have Aaron Jones taking 20 carries every week all year.
Yeah, and I feel like AJ Dillon, like, if they went to him like, hey, you know what, I'm not feeling it, you know what I mean, take a little less or whatever, kind of work some kind of deal out. I feel like AJ Dillon wants to be in Green Bay.
That's, you know, the thing. I think he would take a cheaper deal.
Yeah, like, don't disrespect him or whatever, but like, I feel like a team friendly deal, like, he would do it, like, his, you know, his family's here, you know, Dork Cone, he's got the keys and all that. He's not trying to go to Florida or something. I mean, who wants to go to Florida?
No.
It's warm all that. But I'll say, like, on record, I love AJ Dillon. I think he's great for the team. I get people's questions about it, but I think at some point they're going to draft, probably this year, they're going to draft a young running back.
Yeah.
I think AJ Dillon's good for the city. He does a lot of great things. And I know that people, whenever I say that, they're like, we don't care about the city. We care about the team, what he does. Like, but I absolutely love AJ Dillon. I think he's fantastic. But
it all depends too how much they value or how much they like Emmanuel Wilson. I guess could factor into it too. I don't know.
Yeah, because like he did some stuff. They didn't really give him a lot of playing time. He didn't really get in there. I think this year, like, we're gonna find out what they think about. Even if AJ Dillon is here, I would assume that if they like Wilson, we're gonna see a lot more of him.
Yeah,
a lot more opportunities. So let me ask you this. All right. So Mark Murphy.
Yeah.
Last season, you know, he's out. You know, because the age limit, they have an age limit. I wish my job had one and it was 42.
For real.
But Mark Murphy's moving on. I forget what the age limit is, but he's that age next year. So this next season will be his last season as a CEO of the Packers. I didn't even know that there was a CEO of the Packers. I thought it was just the president, but I guess CEO is kind of the same thing. Yeah, I want to be a CEO of something. I'm gonna make something. It doesn't have to be big. Just
CEO of the Matt Ramage Show, dude.
Oh yeah, you know what I mean. CEO. You want to be the vice president?
Hell yeah. Do you want your show to crash? Because then I can do it.
Well, it's not doing throwing things right now. But if you were hired as Packers CEO, what's your first move? All right, because a lot of people are talking about today. That was kind of the joke on Twitter. Everyone's like, "Hey, I'll do it." You know, I made a joke. Hey, I'll quit my Chiefs factory job. I'll be the CEO.
Yeah.
Like that's what's holding me back.
Oh, dude.
Good question.
It is. I
ask good questions sometimes.
This is a good one. I find a way to get more seats in Lambeau because we got to get this long list of season ticket holders and dwindle that down because I want to get a season tickets before I die. Also make beer cheaper in the stadium. I'm going to do some fan-friendly things. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah, if you want to black out in Lambo, it's going to cost you about $150.
Yeah, I'm going to lower it from like $8, $10 a beer to like $6. I think that's reasonable for everybody. Dude, I don't even know. That's such a good question. I feel like that would be my first two moves. Get more seats and lower beer prices.
Yeah, so my first move, I thought about it earlier. When I put this question up, I had it. I would have sitting sections. That's what I would do. If I was CEO of Lambeau Field, because some people don't like it when you stand, right? Mm-hmm. And I get it because they were there from the dirt. Those are old timers that they've been watching the Packers from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and you know they don't want to stand. So I feel like they should have a section that's for sitting, sections for standing, like people who want to stand the whole game. They should kind of move it around so there's not so much kind of bickering in the stands. When I go to games now, I don't even sit in the bleachers. I go to like the standing room only up top. And I watch from up top because I can stand, I can walk away, go to the bathroom, get the beer when I want to get it. And meet people, you know, we're high five. And I like to stand, even like right now, my podcast, I bought a standing desk because I don't like to sit. If I'm sitting, I'm gonna take a nap. You know what I mean? I'm gonna shut it down. But so like, I that's what I would do. I would try to make a situation where we can have a spot for the people to sit, spot for people to stand. I'm not saying that if you sit, you got to be over here, but like kind of try to work it a little bit because we got to get loud over at Lambeau Field. You know what I mean? We've got to have spots where people can stand the whole game, just get rowdy. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. I'm with that. Another
that one is what I would do.
At that last comment we have on YouTube about so fans could listen to the game nationwide. I feel like they should make a rule because we're fan owned. If you bought stock in the Packers and you have that piece of paper, I feel like you should get like an automatic, you can stream the game for free, no matter where you are. You're technically an owner. So you should be able to watch your team play, whether you live in Florida, whether you live in California, wherever you live in Europe, like it doesn't matter. You get a free stream to the game. I feel like that's only fair.
Yeah. So that was a great comment. He said, if I was CEO, I would restore the relationship with WTMJ so fans could listen nationwide to games. Yeah. I think that is actually like a real thing that should happen. If you are a stockholder, you should be able to stream the games like no matter where you are. But we have a good comment over here that I clipped, which I think is a great one. Sideline Report again. He said the Packers won a Super Bowl in 1996, 2010, and next season is in 2024. Every 14 years, book it. Dude, I think that's a great comment, first of all. And like what I've been saying, like through the, because like I predicted the Bills win a Super Bowl early on because I said, look at these teams. Like when Aaron Rodgers took over, he won a Super Bowl after a couple of years or whatever. He was 2008 was his first season. He won it in 2010 season, 2011. And like Patrick Mahomes, a couple of years in, like it kind of like because they're on the rookie deals, even like the Seahawks back in the day. So like Jordan Love, you know, a couple of years in, he didn't get in his first year, but he got him further than they were supposed to go. So next season, I feel like it is that year. And if it's not next season, it'll be the season after that, or maybe both. You know,
back to back, baby. We're in.
You know what I mean? So there's so many numbers that we can bring up, which we will do, because this can be a long off season. We'll give you every reason why the Packers can win a Super Bowl next year. That's what we're gonna do over here. But all right, so like I want to talk about some Super Bowl memories. That this is Super Bowl week. All right, Super Bowl 31. I got memories up here, but I don't think you're as old as I am. How old are you?
Yeah, dude. I'm 30. I was 3 during that Super Bowl.
You were 3. So what were you doing? What were you doing at 3?
Probably playing with Power Rangers, trying not to pee my pants, honestly.
I'm not even sure Power Rangers or anything at 3, but how about Super Bowl 45? What were you doing
Super Bowl 45? That one, I remember. I went to my buddy's house in high school. We had a big party. And yeah, we went crazy. And we were, every touchdown, we run outside, jump in the snow until the parents yelled at us. I remember his dad, after Nick Collins pick 6, right away, his dad tried to run down the stairs. And just you sort just biffed it, dude. That's one of the memories that game was incredible. It was fun. And then a couple days later they had that party at big thing at Lambeau where people got to come and brought the trophy and everything. So my parents were cool and let me skip school that day and drive up to Lambeau Field. No, that was fun, man. I'll never forget that. Those throws of Greg Jennings. Nick Collins, obviously, I wish he was able to play longer, but I need another one of those in my life. I need my kids to experience another Super Bowl. We will. We're going to.
We are definitely going to do that. So let me tell you about my Super Bowl 31 memory, and then I also have 45 because I remember that one too because I'm old. You know what I mean? No, but Super Bowl 31 was crazy because I was like 16 for that one, right? And like I grew up like in the 80s. Like I was born in 79. All right, I'm 70s baby, you know what I mean? But I grew up with like my uncles and stuff, my cousins, like older cousins, where they would gamble on first downs because the Packers sucked, right? So they couldn't get no enjoyment as adults from the game because they knew the Packers were getting throttled all the time. So they'll be like, I bet you $10 to get a first down right here. You know, it's just degenerate gambling type stuff. So that was like kind of my memory of Packer games. My best friend lived next door. He's a Bears fan. He wasn't allowed over on Sunday. They're like, get him out of here. Kill the Bears for good. You know, like, get out of here. Get the hell out of here. Don't even knock. So 31, after, I don't remember a lot during the game because I remember being at a buddy's house. My brother was there and he was like an adult, you know, just a young adult. I was 16. He's a couple, you know, whatever, a few years older than me. We got in his car. We rode down Main Street in Green Bay. People were jumping up and down and like on telephone poles. People were jumping on cars. It wasn't like violent, like where people were like, you know, like breaking stuff. And maybe in some areas, but it wasn't really violent. But people were rocking cars. Everyone was like stoked. Yeah. It's been so long. It's like it was like 30 years before he went to a playoff game, I think. So like it was like next level. Out of chaos, like it was so awesome. Like I'll never forget Super Bowl 31. And then like that when the parade came by, it went right by my friend's house, and like he picked up Desmond Howard picked up my friend's little brother, who's a full grown adult now, obviously, picked him up out of the parade bus and put him back down. And like it was just like it was just awesome. It was just like so awesome. Super Bowl 45 was a little bit different. I was watching with my brother in law, one of my good friends. And my dude, want to hear a funny story about Super Bowl 45? Yes. When the Packers won the NFC Championship game, my wife, we're like all celebrating, Super Bowl, we're going to Super Bowl. Everyone, you know, doing the same thing. And then my wife is on the phone, and then she's like, hey, we're going to the Super Bowl. And I was like, what? I was like, yeah, we're going to Super Bowl. She's like, no, we are going to the Super Bowl. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, we're going to the Super Bowl. I was like, oh, yeah. Where are we going to Super Bowl? And then she's like, yeah, I'm going to my work or whatever. And we're like, yeah. And she's like, wait. No, I'm going to the Super Bowl. You ain't going. I'm going to the Super Bowl. So she actually went to that Super Bowl without me. I watched it with her brother. Wasn't nearly as fun as the amount of fun that she had. She had, you know, one of the funny stories that, because she had a lot of stories coming home from the Super Bowl. There was an ice storm there that year. And, she was like, they were in a bus, like a tour bus or whatever, driving down this road. It's kind of a hill and it's icy and they're kind of sliding all over. Everyone's like, kind of screaming, like, what's going to happen? And the driver said over the PA, he said, don't worry, everyone. I'm from Wisconsin.
They're holding this thing.
Yeah, because everyone, all the buses were like sliding on there, kind of going sideways. And everyone's kind of like, whoa, what's going to happen here? We all going to die in this thing? He's like, no, I'm from Wisconsin. I know how to drive in this thing. But she had a good time. I didn't have as good of a time, but like I remember like when they won, my brother-in-law is one of the most, you know, like kind of a negative Packer fan. He's a good guy, but he's kind of like, you know, first quarter, oh, we lost it, it's over. One of those kind of guys. So like after, like we knew there was a big defensive player or whatever, and we were like, I think the Packers just won a Super Bowl. And we just hugged. I've never hugged this man in my life before or after. We're not a hugging group. We're hugging, jumping up and down in a circle.
This next Super Bowl, you're going to kiss him. You're going to take it.
You know what I mean? We got to take it up a level. You know what I mean? So I feel like that is probably what's going to happen. But yeah, we're going to get another one of those. I need my sons to have one because like my son was alive, obviously, when the Packers won Super Bowl 45. They're old. They're older. But they were kids. Like I feel like even like Super Bowl 31 when I was 16, like I didn't really experience it. I barely remember it. Like, you know, I remember like the celebration, but I barely remember that game. But my memory isn't that good. I drank.
I'm the same way. Years of football and MMA. My brain is garbage.
Yeah, we need another one. We need another one because our memory is not so good. So that's all I'm saying. But all right. So let's keep moving over here. So Mark Murphy, like we just talked about him. These are kind of out of order. I have no order for these questions as they pop in my head.
That's all.
When I wrote them down. But who do you think should replace Mark Murphy, and why should it not be me?
Oh, see, that's crazy because I was going to say you, but now that you said that second part, honestly, I don't even know. If I would say a name right now, it would be made up. I would just say a random Harry Potter character at this point.
I don't know Harry Potter characters. I wish I did.
Dude, I love Harry Potter. I got a Harry Potter.
What about Andrew Brandt?
Yeah, why not?
Because I know that it's a lot of business stuff. Because I know, like, we're gonna talk about this on this next one. Because Mark Murphy did do a great job, and I wanna show something here in a second. But I think it's not just football minds. It's it's money, like Title Town, and they get stuff done. But it's
business.
Yeah. So you got no input on that, huh?
I'm not going to lie to you. I saw Corey Banky put Ed Policy is probably going to be the guy. I don't – when it comes
what about
to that
Russ stuff, Ball? I don't know what he does. Like, he seems smart, right?
Contract
he's a money guy.
Yeah, he's a good money guy. I'm cool with it. Yeah. That's the thing is, like, with this stuff is – like I said before, I'm
I have no idea either.
Players. You could – someone could tell me, honestly, random names of people that worked in the front office.
Dude, I want to put it on record. I'm going to say Russ Ball right now. And if he gets hired, I want everyone to bow down to me and tell me how smart I am. All right? Can we disagree to that?
Yeah, done. Yeah. All right, there we go. I'll drive to where you live and bow down in front of your house. That's how awesome.
That's all I'm asking. You know what I mean? I'm not asking for a lot. All right, so now that Mark Murphy's about to be out, let's put a little respect on this man's name. And we have I have a tweet over here that I stole. But Mark Murphy has done a lot for the Packers. You know, a lot of people don't even realize. So let's throw this tweet out here. Show some love to Joe at Work 87. First of all, let me get this banner out of here so people can read the whole thing. He said, under Mark Murphy's watch, the Packers transitioned from Sherman to McCarthy, from Favre to Rodgers, from Thompson to Gutekunst. From McCarthy to LaFleur, from Rodgers to Love, increased stadium capacity, created the Titletown District, and landed the NFL draft. Like, that is crazy impressive. Like, he has done some stuff for the Packers. Like, and a lot of people, like, a lot of Packer fans just throw disrespect at him all the time. Like oh, he's retired. He sucks. He's just, and like, dude, he has done, like, because first of all, the CEO, the president, whatever you want to call him, his job isn't to win on Sunday. His job is to, like, put people in position to do their jobs. And obviously, like, he's a top dude, so he's talking about the GM. He's talking about, you know, the GM hires the coach and all that stuff. I'm sure he has a hand in a lot of that. But a lot of it is the Titletown District. A lot of it is making the Packers money, keeping the Packers relevant, keeping the Packers money flowing in. And Titletown District is wild. Titletown District is a great thing. So people need to throw throw some respect at Mark Murphy's name.
He was so good. It's to the point now where, like, everyone's like, oh, how is Love going to follow Rodgers? How is his next president or CEO going to follow Mark Murphy? Dude brought the draft to Green Bay, Wisconsin. No one thought that was going to happen. So, like, and that there's no better send-off. It's like Jerome Bettis winning the Super Bowl before he retired. Like, Mark Murphy having the draft before he has to leave is, like, the most incredible send off he could possibly have. Like, it's perfect. Like, Mark Murphy, people like to complain. That's what people do. They just complain about stupid stuff for no reason. Mark Murphy has been an incredible CEO slash president, and to transition the way it was and to have the players. And we complain, well, we only had one Super Bowl with Rodgers. Yeah, but we were in contention for literally 14, 15 years. Like, you have to give credit for that. Some players didn't execute, some coaches didn't execute, whatever. But the front office put us in position year after year to be in contention. That's all you need. And it just didn't happen. But Mark Murphy he deserves a lot of credit, because that was, he killed it, dude.
Yeah. And then getting the draft to Green Bay, like, no one ever thought, everyone talks about, you know, the Packers are never going to have a Super Bowl, which they won't. But they're never going to have a draft. But, dude, they got a draft. I don't even know how they're going to do it, where they're going to do it, or like how they're going to do it. But I know that I'm going to be there. I will be there. I will quit my job to be there.
Dude, you got to link up for it, dude.
Yo, that's when we'll meet. You know what I mean? All right. So, shout out to Mark Murphy. You did a good job. You know, we're proud of you. Appreciate you right here. So let me ask you about this defense.
Yes.
Will the Packers defense start fast next season, or are they going to have like a learning curve? Because, you know, new defense are learning it. Because, like, there's two points to this, right? They could have a learning curve just like the offense did this year, not because of a new offense, but because of new players doing it. But also, the other offenses that on the other teams aren't going to know exactly what the Packers defense is doing. They're going to see a little bit in preseason, but they're not going to give too much. Everyone kind of knows what a 4-3 is. They kind of know. They'll watch film on previous seasons, but they're not going to really know. So I feel like that gives the Packers a good chance to start fast and hopefully try to keep that thing going. But what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think the first couple games, kind of like this season with the offense, where we saw them dominate the Bears, that game against the Falcons, like, they dominated for three quarters, had that rough one, the Saints game, and then there was that, like, downslide in the middle as, like, kind of teams figured out our offense. Not figured it out, but, like, we were still learning on the offense. I think that we could see that. Like, the first couple games, as you said, teams don't know what to expect, so we could do really well week one and two, and then it could be, like, a 3-4-5-week stretch where it's a little – you see that learning curve hit, and then later on the season it kind of turns on a little bit as people learn. But there's going to be a learning – they're going to be doing a whole new system. Halfley's going to be getting his feet on the ground a little bit too. Like, we have to – the same way we were giving patience to this offense this year and Jordan Love, we have to do that with the defense a little bit. But you know Packer fans, dude, the first mistake week
that's
one –
that's what we're known for, is being patient.
They're like, one mistake, you're like, oh, fire him, somebody else. Dude,
they'll be googling his name so they can do the hashtag fire. What's it? How do you spell that?
Halfley is my daughter's name with an F instead of a D, so it was actually easy for me.
That's the thing that is tough, though. When these coaches come in,
yeah,
I'm not good at like spelling their names. Like, here are the names of the new defensive staff. Do you know how to say all these names?
Number two stumped me. I got to Jason and I'm out.
I would read these right now for the people on the podcast, but like, these are tough names to say. I remember when we had Patton, I called him Patine on the first podcast I did, and the person that was on with it, like, dude, it's Patton, you idiot.
You should have kept that going from now on, Patine.
it's tough for me to say names. And I hate saying names wrong, because I feel like it's the most disrespectful thing that you can do to someone. I don't care if people say my name wrong, as long as you're saying it. People call me Ramaj sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, well, that sounds fancy. I ain't mad about that. My son won like the President's Award, you know, in school. Yeah. And they're like, Andrew Ramaj. And then after, someone's like, that's not right. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, dude, that sounded fancy. Was that French? Like, dude, you made me sound fancy. I ain't mad about that. You know what I mean?
So, I'm not going to lie. I thought, for some reason, I thought your last name was Rampage for the longest time.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
I look at your name like, oh, Matt Rampage. And then one day I was like, I've been thinking his name's wrong for like a year. Like, that's how long it took me to realize it was Rampage.
And a lot of people did. My first Twitter name, I think, was Rampage something. And when that fighter came out, his name was Rampage. I'm like, screw that
Rampage
guy,
Jackson, dude.
I was like, dude, I was Rampage since forever. Like that is it was my first Twitter name. My friends back at some point used to call me Rampage. Like, I didn't deserve that name, because Rampage is too cool of a name for me to have. Like, I can't fight.
You should have been the Rampage in the UFC. You missed you out on I mean? Your career, dude.
Only Rampage I'm doing is like I hit up a freaking. Let me clear that up.
It wasn't me.
I said freaking. All right, let's move on over here. We got a couple other ones. This is actually from Facebook comment. They're talking about Lambeau Field having a trackable roof. And I will say this. I want to say perfectly clear. Lambeau Field should never have a roof in any form, not retractable. Not, I know people are saying, well, then they could get a Super Bowl. They're never going to Super Bowl. It's too cold in February, yeah. Even though it's not right now. Right now, if there's a Super Bowl.
This was the year.
Yeah, the weather is great. But a lot of years, like it's not. It's never going to happen. And I don't want a roof on Lambeau Field in any way. I think Lambeau Field is what football is. Like what all the football teams are trying to do, what the NFL is Lambeau Field. It's, you know, Buffalo's kind of the same thing. They built a new stadium. Like, we're not putting a roof on this thing. Because then people are like, well, that's why you had to relocate games. Like, no, it's not, because you would die if you try to drive to the game. In exactly. Buffalo especially. You know, Lambeau Field, Green Bay, I don't feel like has the same type of snow as Buffalo has, because they get, like, feet at a time. Like, Green Bay does at times, but not like them all the time. It's not about playing in the snow. It's about people trying to get to the game. They can't get there if there's, like, feet of snow like in Buffalo. So I don't think it would matter even if they did put a roof on there. I don't want them touching Lambeau Field. I like the history of Green Bay. That's why I love the Packers. The history of Green Bay and Lambeau Field and how it started and everything about it is just so beautiful. Do not mess with the history. That's what I'll say about whoever takes Mark Murphy's spot, which I'm sure that they're going to have the same feeling, is like, don't mess with the history. Don't screw this thing up. Green Bay is a beautiful place. Lambeau Field is the most iconic spot in the NFL. Don't tarnish it. Don't put a roof. And they're not going to put a roof on it. So I don't even know it's a question. No. Like, no one in that building is like, whoa, should we? You never know. You know what I mean? Like, no one's doing that. There will never be a roof on Lambeau Field.
Do you think and this could just be because I am dumb. Like, there's part of me like, I understand the weather is not great in February, but I'm still surprised they never were like, hey, the most iconic stadium, the winners of the first two Super Bowls, we should have a Super Bowl at this. Like, fans that opposing teams fans have Lambeau Field as a bucket list go-to stadium. Like, why don't you have a Super Bowl there? Player, like, let them play in the elements. That's football. It's not, like you said, it's not going to be 10 feet of snow like Buffalo. They can wear a long sleeve under their shirt. They'll be fine. We've put up points in Lambeau January. Let them do it.
I think the tough part would be, like, where people sleep. Because, like, there's not as many hotels. I mean, but like, the drive,
could the draft show it, though? Of like, hey, we can do this. And also, because it's a two-hour drive.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, just drive. As long as there's not crazy snow and people don't get, like, die on the way there. But, like, yeah, Milwaukee, you got Appleton, you got Oshkosh, you got, you know, Fond du Lac. They got a couple hotels over there.
They got a day's end, dude. You'll be good.
Yeah, you go north. If you actually know the area, you could probably get some hotels like within an hour's distance. But like, yeah, if you live in California, you're driving an hour like nothing. You're stuck in traffic. You know what I mean? So I feel like I'm not going to say it could be done, but I think that people should look into it. Because like you say, Milwaukee has all those hotels. I don't care where you stay, bro. You're not staying with me. That's all I know. But I think it'd be awesome to have a Super Bowl in Green Bay, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. It could happen someday. But
I hope so. I don't expect it to, but it would just be the coolest thing. It would be the coolest thing if they did that.
Yeah. All right. Before we head out of this thing, I do want to give a shout out to Booze Bar right here in O'Connell, Wisconsin. All right.
You can't hear me. I was going to say, don't do that.
Booze Bar in O'Connell, Wisconsin. Big shout out to Jeremy, who owns that thing. We were down there the other day. He's awesome. A little family, you know what I mean? But, it's a great place. So if you're, O'Connell, Wisconsin has a great spot for fish. A lot of people come up here for fishing. If you need a bar, you want to have a place to wet your whistle, whatnot, head over to Booze Bar over on Main Street. Great establishment ran by some great people. And they always have some great specials. So a shout out to them. You know what I mean? But there we go. That was fun, huh?
Yeah. Dude, I always love coming out. Yeah. I love coming on this show. It's fun, dude. I think prep too much in the nicest way possible. I don't have to like find random DVOA stats that I don't understand and just repeat so people think I know what I'm talking about.
No, everyone knows that. Like, I don't know anything about football. Like, I always say that, like, I'm the most least knowledgeable podcaster that is somewhat successful. Like, people actually watch a little bit. But there's a lot of smart people. I'm gonna have smart people on this offseason, and I'm gonna have Kenny Clark is gonna be on the podcast.
Let's go.
This season, there's a few other players. I don't want to say their names because I don't know for sure if it's gonna happen. I don't like to call them, say it in case they don't, and then it looks like they're. But you guys had Jamal Williams over on Game on Wisconsin.
Yep.
For a whole year, I'm trying to do that. I try to copy that. I'm like, hey, you want to go on my podcast? They're like, yeah, no problem. Like every week for the whole season, like, yeah, I don't think so, bud. give you one shot.
We had Jamal and then we had MBS. I'm trying this year for a former player actually to do a weekly thing. That's my one right now.
Yeah, I think about that too. Yeah. Alex Green is going to be on my podcast soon too.
We've been talking to him. Yeah.
He does some good stuff. Alex Green, shout out to Alex Green. He does some good stuff. He talks to schools, talks to the kids. I remember like being in school, like Reggie White came to my school and talked to us.
For real?
And I was like a rebellion, like type of crappy kid. I was like, you know, thought I knew it all. And I was like, you know, screw the system. And I got kicked out. I got kicked out of the auditorium. Reggie White was talking.
Oh.
And, because I was like talking and I wasn't being rude to him, but I was just kind of like, you know, I guess I was. Chatter. I was talking. The teacher's like, get out of here. And they're like, Reggie White comes all the way down here to help, you know, to talk to you. But I do remember some of the speech because I got kicked out at the end. I think it's cool, though, like when players come to the schools because they don't have to do that. They don't get anything out of that. The same thing I say to every podcaster who says, how do you get players to come on your podcast? I would say the first thing you have to realize, no player gets anything out of coming on your podcast. Yeah. Like I've had Preston Smith. I've had Adrian Amos. I have Kenny Clark, you know, a lot of guys. And none of them got anything out of being on my podcast. Like they're being nice, or hopefully they're having a little fun while they're on. Exactly. But it's not like you're not ESPN like Pat McAfee, where like they might get some followers, might get like some attention or whatever on your little show. Like they don't need to do it. It I wouldn't say it's a waste of their time, but they're being nice. They're trying to give back to the fans. It's cool for them in some way. But like they definitely don't need to be on the Matt Remmons show. Like they're not.
One thing I think. We have to our advantage, and because I had some people in the Packers world who can suck it, complain that why people come up, players come on his show, he's so unprofessional. I think that's why they like coming on.
I think that's because we're not like,
give me the X's and O's. No, they don't care. They have to deal with that stuff in their daily job. Let them come on and have fun. Like they're more than just like, I need to tackle this player on the football field. Like, chill out, dude. Let them have fun and mess around.
Yeah, because I feel like so many people are trying to be like ESPN, and then some people are like really smart, and that's kind of their whole thing, and that's fine because like there's smart people in the Packers world who like break it down like I cannot. But I feel like if they come on my show, like I want to know like what got them into football, like what do they do? Like I had Preston on, like Preston Smith actually, like when he was on my podcast, he broke that like when he signed his new deal, like he found out like at the airport, and someone stole his car.
No.
Like he was on the airplane, getting out of the airplane, turned his phone on. His agent called, like, hey, we got the deal or whatever. He's like, oh, sweet. Like, yeah, you got to go back to Green Bay. He's like, well, I just flew in to Atlanta because that's where he lives.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you got to go back to Green Bay. He's like, oh, so he's like, but then he's like, all right, let me get home and like get my stuff. And then he's like, wait, where's my car? Someone stole his car from the airport parking lot. I thought that should have been ESPN. I felt like that was great, but like apparently they didn't think so either.
That's a great story.
I think it's one of my favorite stories that I've ever heard. But it's fun.
My first interview with Jamal, it was for an article. Because before I got players on podcasts, it was just like writing up articles.
Yeah.
Me and him talked for like an hour and a half. And I kid you not, maybe the 45 to 50 minutes, more than that, was just nonsense. Like we talked about the Ninja Turtles for at least 25 minutes. That was my favorite part. It's like things like that. I'm just like, we're talking about Michelangelo. Like that stuff's the fun stuff. I don't care.
Dude, Jamal Williams is the absolute GOAT. Like I think he's the most fun person to watch. Like I've watched a lot of your show. I watch his like press conferences, interviews. Jamal Williams is just like one of the most fun people that ever lived.
Oh, I know.
I feel like he's never down.
No,
I'm sure he has the times, but like he keeps it going.
His big thing too is just like he wants to play football and play video games. Like he doesn't want the extra stuff, which is you got to respect it. Like it's
cool. Yeah, yeah. Because I only want extra stuff.
I'd have 20 cars and drive one. Like that's that would be me just posting pictures every day. Like
yeah,
I'd be an idiot.
Dude, I would be stupid. That's why I don't have any of that stuff. But but I also too want to give a shout because I want to start doing a kind of a shout out to content creators, people who are doing good things, whether they're big and everyone knows their name or they're not. But we're gonna start out this week. Mr. Alex Strofe does a lot. I don't know if he still does, but for Game On Wisconsin, I know he does Pack a Day stuff. He's over on ESPN Wisconsin. He's absolutely killing it. Like he used to do a lot of stuff with me. We used to do a post game show. We used to do a lot of cool stuff. But I always knew that he had that radio voice.
The first time I heard his voice, I was like, my God, dude, you're meant for the radio.
Yeah. And he's so good at talking. Like, yeah. And I don't know that that's like a dumb thing to say, but I'm not that good. I mean, I can get the words, like, duh, 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 duh. You know what I mean? I got a little stutter going on. But Alex Strofe, I think he's great at what he does. I knew he was destined for the radio. I think I wouldn't be surprised. Some days on NFL Network or whatever big station.
He just interviewed Brian Bulaga today.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the clips over there. But everyone, be sure to check out ESPN Madison, Alex Strofe on all his social medias, and he's got a podcast. Like what's it called? It's called
Mr. Irrelevant. Should have had
this. Yeah, Mr. Irrelevant. I should have had that written down. You know what I mean? But he does a great job. Everyone knew he's gonna do a great job doing big things over there at ESPN Madison. Big shout out to Mr. Alex.
Baller.
Baller. All right, we're gonna wrap this thing up. Everyone, be sure to check out Jimmy Christensen over there. He's on the Twitter, he's on the Instagram. I think that's it. But also Game On Wisconsin.
Yep.
Pack a Day podcast. Be sure to check those out. Packer Report too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Sometimes doing I write big words. Things.
Dude, I can't write, dude. I remember like back when I first started tweeting, someone's like, hey, do you want to write for an article? I'm like, dude, nobody wants that. Yeah. I can't write. Like my wife edits my Facebook posts. Yeah, that, dude, I make a Facebook post. My wife edits it. She's like an admin on my Facebook just so she can edit. I'm like, hey, you're an admin. You can post like some memes, you know, whatever. She's like, no, I just edit your stuff because you don't know how to spell right. Awesome, dude. All right, we are going to be out of this thing. I appreciate everyone who tuned in, everyone who watched live. Be sure to check out the Matt Ramage Show on Spotify, Apple, all the places that you listen to podcasts. And also you can check out themattramage.com. You can find all the places that you can follow me, all the places that you can listen to podcasts or watching YouTube and all the places. And also merch. We got some good merch out there. Go buy some merch, you know, pays for my beer directly. You know what I mean? But big shout out to Game On Wisconsin, Mr. Jimmy over here. Peace out. Go Pack. Go. We got some fun stuff coming this season, baby, this off season. You know what I mean?